Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. We're actually, I'm live in Hudson today because it's Thursday. I don't know where I am. It's so cold outside. I don't know what month it is, where I am. A little confused, but we'll get it together by the time the rest of the show comes around. We're hoping Roger Hannigan-Gilson will be in from the Times Union with his weekly report. And we've got other stories for you. Activists arrested in Queemans and more. Stay tuned. The WGXC Morning Show is next. We'll have the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local better weather from the Catskill Makers Syndicate. It all starts with the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show this morning, live from Hudson.
This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network.
Hello, this is Mr. Petey Pete, and you are listening to WGXC Acre 90.7 and WGXC.org, streaming all over the world.
Kingston-based Dromedary Records is celebrating its 30th anniversary with a special festival September 15th through 17th at Tubby's in Kingston. And the Avalon Lounge, Left Bank Ciders, and Spike's Record Rack in Catskill. WGXC DJs Jeff Economy and Nick and Lisa are on the bill with Speed the Plow, Antietam, Sleepyhead, Lotion, Jenny Toomey, and others. WGXC will webcast the performances from the Avalon Lounge and Spike's Record Rack at wgxc.org/listen. More information is available on the WGXC community calendar.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, featuring first-run and repertory films at movie theaters located in Rhinebeck and Saugerties, as well as live music, filmmaker conversations, staged readings, community events, variety shows, magic, comedy, and more. The Hudson Valley Picture Show traveling series brings cinema to locations around the region. The latest schedules, as well as upcoming pop-up events at the Community Theater in Catskill, can be found at upstatefilms.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Alana Medlock of Kingston, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Thursday, September 14th. Go to the WGXC newsroom, wgxc.org, for more information about any of these stories. Brett Samuels reports for The Hill that former President Donald Trump may be coordinating his election campaign to regain the presidency with the U.S. House leaders that are launching an impeachment inquiry into his opponent, President Joe Biden. Trump spoke September 12th with Representative Elise Stefanik, the Republican who represents Rensselaer County and the rest of the 21st Congressional District in New York, just after Speaker Kevin McCarthy announced a formal impeachment inquiry into Biden. Stefanik said, quote, "I speak to President Trump a lot. I spoke to him today," unquote. Stefanik claimed that whatever House Republicans are investigating is, quote, "the biggest political corruption scandal of our lifetime," unquote. Stefanik did not give specific details of what alleged crimes are being investigated. Democrats took votes before starting impeachment investigations into Trump, but McCarthy just announced the current investigation without any vote. Locally, Democratic Representative Pat Ryan said he is against impeachment, while Democrat Paul Tonko has been mum so far. Republican Mark Molinaro came out for the impeachment inquiry, but also did not specifically say what exactly he wanted to investigate. Read more about the story in The Hill. The Centers for Disease Control recommended September 12th that everyone 6 months and older get an updated COVID-19 vaccine against the latest strain of COVID-19. With updated vaccines from Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna available later this week. Mid-Hudson News reports that Governor Kathy Hochul also urged everyone to get the new vaccine on September 13th. Hochul said, quote, "Take the right precautions and we can handle this. There is no need to be careless. We have the tools we need, treatment, tests, masks, but the best, most effective way to deal with this is getting the vaccine. It's coming, it will be available, so let's use it. Get the updated vaccine," unquote. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. And the Troy Record reports that Lewis Pugh completed his 315-mile swim of the entire Hudson River. Quote, "There is no other river in the whole world where, at the source, you've got beavers, you've got bears, you've got vultures," unquote, Pugh said earlier in his journey. Quote, "And then at the end, you come underneath the George Washington Bridge and you breathe to your left-hand side and you see these amazing skyscrapers," unquote. He encountered plastic garbage in the river and drank Pepto-Bismol, rinsed with antiseptic mouthwash, washed up with surgical soap, and wore earplugs to keep some of the river's toxicity from his body. Christopher Swaim swam the Hudson River in 2004 wearing a wetsuit, while Pugh swam in a Speedo. Assistants followed in a boat and a kayak. Despite legal sewage overflows when it rains, Pugh sang the praises of the Hudson River. He said, quote, "This is the one river in the whole world which can send the message of hope to everybody, that your river, whether it be in Britain, whether it be in France, India, China, that your river can one day be saved," unquote. Read more about the story in the Troy Record, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom, wgxc.org.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
I think it's time for guys like me to get out of the way and have people in the next generation step forward, because they're going to be shaping the world they're going to be living in.
76-year-old Republican Utah Senator Mitt Romney is retiring from the Senate at the end of his term, saying it's time for a new generation of leaders. The move is a blow to moderate Republicans and those opposed to former President Donald Trump. And Romney says the U.S. would be better off if the two frontrunners for the White House, President Joe Biden and Trump, also stepped aside. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre calls the Biden impeachment inquiry a baseless political stunt because long-running investigations have failed to show any evidence that the president benefited from his son Hunter's businesses. She called out House Speaker Kevin McCarthy for ordering the inquiry under pressure from hardline Republicans like Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia and Matt Gaetz of Florida.
So he didn't even put up for a vote, as you all know, because he knows that even his own members weren't going to support this. So, that's why we call it baseless.
McCarthy defends the decision to open an impeachment inquiry without a floor vote, saying his predecessor, Nancy Pelosi, changed the rules in the House. The United Auto Workers Union is likely headed toward a strike when their current four-year contract expires at midnight. The union and the big Detroit automakers, General Motors, Ford, and Stellantis, have hit roadblocks on wage increases and cost of living adjustments. Democrat Rashida Tlaib represents a district in Michigan.
The big three CEOs received a whopping 40% increase in pay, while workers right now, the majority of them, living check by check.
The strike has the potential to be one of the largest U.S. labor actions in years. A Texas federal judge has ruled the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival program is illegal for a second time, although he's stayed his order, meaning 600,000 Dreamers can remain in the country for now. Neri Lopez, a DACA recipient, praised the program on MSNBC.
It gave me the opportunity to go to college. I graduated from FIU, and it's giving me the opportunity to think beyond just living in the shadows.
Critics say President Obama went beyond his authority when he created DACA by executive action in 2012. Speaking at a Washington think tank Wednesday, Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy called for cutting the federal workforce by up to three quarters.
Large-scale mass layoffs are absolutely what we will bring to the D.C. bureaucracy, both because it is necessary and it is sanctioned by the law of the United States.
Ramaswamy says he wants to eliminate the FBI, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, and the Department of Education by executive action, sidestepping votes in Congress. I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacific Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Republicans in the Wisconsin Senate have a 66% veto-proof supermajority. Republicans in the Wisconsin Assembly are 2 votes short of a supermajority. Yet the governor of Wisconsin is a Democrat. How is that possible? Gerrymandering. And the majority of Wisconsin's legislators want to keep it that way. But storm clouds are gathering over what the Princeton Gerrymandering Project calls some of the most extreme partisan gerrymanders in the United States. Power in the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which accepted the legislature's gerrymandered maps in 2022, shifted August 1st when liberal Justice Janet Prosewitz was seated. Prosewitz spoke openly about Wisconsin's gerrymandering during the election, prompting Assembly Speaker Robin Voss to threaten impeachment unless she recuses herself from gerrymandering cases. A case contesting the state's legislative district maps was filed the day Prosewitz took office, but impeachment would require a 2/3 vote of both houses, and it's unlikely in the Assembly. So September 12th, Speaker Voss proposed a theoretically nonpartisan state bureau for creating redistricting maps based on a system in Iowa, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The catch? The Wisconsin Assembly must approve the maps, and if there's a deadlock, the Assembly would draw the maps after all. Governor Tony Evers has already condemned the plan. We have links to the local reporting, the new proposal, and groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Thursday, September 14th. Local early morning temperatures range from 47 in Medusa to 54 in Kinderhook. Regional average soil temperature is 70 degrees. Pollen levels for today will be low. Today will be mostly sunny with just enough cloud cover to prevent any UV warnings. We get a high of 72 at 3 p.m. Dew points will be lower than previous days, making it feel a lot more comfortable. Overnight, we dip to 50 degrees. Then, tomorrow will be partly cloudy with a high of 70. You know, perfect. 56 degrees overnight takes us into another great-looking Saturday with a high of 72. Sunday gets a little warmer, hitting 77 degrees, but still dry and partly cloudy. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 3:15 a.m., low tide at 9:53 a.m., high tide again at 3:43 p.m., and low tide, once again, at 10 o'clock p.m. Today's river temperature will be 75 degrees, and the tide strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 6:55 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:30 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances have lowered to 5%. Plasma winds will be average at 461 kilometers per second with a thin density of 1 proton per cubic centimeter. Radio propagation conditions are currently pretty bad till dark, then fair only below 4 megahertz overnight. There are low chances of aurora this evening. The current sunspot number is 109, and this has been the Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
We'll be right back. that's the one.
There's
that's
no
the
telling
one.
What we'll do when we're free.
When I'm numb,
there's no telling what we'll do when we're free.
It's the one
that you may as well crash with.
The folk implosion on the WGXC morning show from the kids soundtrack, which isn't called the kids soundtrack anymore. It was never available in recent years. I guess some weird legal reason or something. But the folk implosion released it this week as Music for Kids, but it's the kids soundtrack from 1995. Folk implosion on the WGXC morning show. Now let's head to southern Albany County and the town of Queemans, which one might call a company town. The company in question is the Carver Company that seems to run the town or have a lot of influence on the town. And so in a company town, you can get arrested for just walking down the street if you're walking down the wrong street, as this story tells us.
We're talking with Barbara Heinzen and Souter Pruksma, who was with the Clean Air Coalition of Greater Ravenna Queemans. We've talked to both of them over the years about a number of clean air issues down in the area. Obviously, there's a Ravenna cement plant, but there's also been various proposals over the years about burning tires and importing them from the Port of Queemans, which we've been involved with. Port of Queemans and sort of the kingmaker down in that area is Carver Industry. And recently, after Carver clear-cut about 25 acres, Barbara and Sarah, you know, we're looking at what are some of the land, you know, what plants, you know, might still be there, and suddenly they were contacted by the police department, who's beginning to take various actions around trespass and stuff like that. So what really is going on here? Can you explain to people, you know, why is the police department suddenly worried about people looking at plants on clear-cut and land from Carver?
Well, I had asked, this is Sarah Pruksma. Thank you for having us, Mark. I had asked Barbara to join me because Barbara is such an excellent expert at native plant identification, and I am, it's one of my growing passions. The whole community has been very upset by the deforestation of all this acreage. It's felt very personal to many people. So I wanted to go there to identify the plants, what was left. There's this really long hedgerow that really acts as a wildlife corridor. So I thought it would be great to go there and identify what was still left.
Yeah, and Sarah asked me to join her. So I met her in Bronc Road right after Sarah left work. And I got my little iNaturalist identifier out, and we went walking up and down the road looking at what plants we could see and naming them. And I was very impressed because we, in the end, found about 20 wonderful native plants between where the woods had been and where the road was. And that was very exciting. But while we were getting our phones out and identifying plants, a Carver vehicle comes up, Carver Company vehicle comes up, and they said, you know, you're trespassing. And I say, no, we're not. We're in the right of way. So we had a pleasant conversation, and he heads off, and we continue identifying plants. And then the next day, Sarah gets a call from the Queemans Police Department while she's at work.
That call was by far the most upsetting call that I've had in a very long time, and certainly the worst experience I've ever had with police. The sergeant that I spoke to outright accused me of trespassing, and I thought it was a joke. Barbara and I were very sensitive to the fact of where we were and not to go on private property. The the property is does have signage for not trespassing. So we made sure to just stay on the very side of the road, you know, within 3-5 feet at the absolute most. It was, you know, from the side of the road. And that's where the town goes. So this is a town road that we're on, public road, and we were only in the grass section. And the sergeant is getting very forceful with me on the phone, and she starts saying that we have video and images of you further onto the property. And I'm like, how is that possible? I'm like, it's not possible because it didn't happen. Then she started threatening me that she was going to come and get me at work and pick me up at home if I didn't come in. And I just literally couldn't believe it was happening. So what's of, you know, great note here is that the Carver Company's employee or employees entered a false statement to police.
And so this, I believe, was back in June. You know, what has happened, you know, since then? And, you know, as the police sort of said, oh, I guess we were a little bit wrong. Sorry about that.
No, nothing like that, Mark. We got one of our neighbors, who's a very good lawyer, to take this up for us. And we were told to appear in court on the 20th of July. And our lawyer talked with the DA and said, you don't have the paperwork. You don't have any witnesses. Why don't you just drop the charges? And the DA said, no, I'm not going to do that, but we'll adjourn in contemplation of dismissal for 6 months, which makes it sound like we're still guilty of something. And Sarah and I both said, no, that's not adequate. And that makes us look like we've done something wrong, and we haven't. So in the end, we settled for an adjournment in contemplation of dismissal, which meant we had to be very good girls for 15 days. And at the end of that, the case was dismissed. So in a way, the police never said, never apologized. They never said they'd done anything wrong. But what shocks me about this is that, in effect, it's Carver Companies using the police to harass the two of us because we have opposed the long-term plans Carver Companies have to industrialize the Queeman shoreline. And we both don't want to see that.
You know, my recollection was the local citizens that organized. I know a number of different proposals, but one of them had to deal with the burning of tires, potentially LFRs, passed a couple town laws or town law to restrict that. And Carver, who is basically going to be importing the tires at the Port of Queeman's, sort of came in and basically took over the town at the next election, and certainly has been getting the state to throw money at him about this expansion of offshore wind and using the Port of Queeman's. Has Queeman's become, you know, a subsidiary of Carver in terms of the town government?
I was down at Queeman's Landing yesterday, and somebody said, yeah, it's now called Laraway Landing because he's bought up so many buildings around the park down at the landing. His application to have wind power at the port, I believe, is a front for actually expanding into a very large waste management business using the Queeman's waterfront to take rubbish in and out of Queeman's and where he can to burn it at the cement plant. None of which I think is a good idea for the river or the community.
Well, it's worth noting too that with this trespassing issue, the photo that the Carver Company's employee took ended up on Facebook less than 12 hours after I went in to receive my summons. The photo that the Carver employees took ended up on Facebook by a private citizen with the, you know, quote unquote, arresting details with our names and everything. So then it starts to make you wonder, you know, how did this private citizen get that information? So I've been doing a lot of research, and, you know, it's no secret that George McHugh is very much connected to Carver Laraway. George McHugh is the supervisor of Queeman's. They're both connected, you know, financially through business and family. But also Brandon Lefevre is a sitting town board member. He's also the deputy supervisor. And he was seen right around the time that this photo was shared on Facebook, taking pictures with the residents that released this photo. So there's too many connections to make it feel like it's not connected.
where do things stand now? Where are the citizens and the Clean Air Coalition in the last 90 seconds, working on in terms of the local town and air quality and, quality of life issues?
Well, the coalition is going to continue working on all of those issues. Most immediately, we're hoping that the elections this year will finally reduce the influence of Carver companies on the Queenman's Town Board. It would be very, very helpful if we had a few more opposition voices on that board, because at the moment we understand that George McHugh bullies the board to do whatever he wants, and George does whatever Carver wants.
So, George is the town supervisor.
Sorry, George yeah. McHugh is the town supervisor, and he's apparently a very unpleasant man to work with, and nobody ever stands up and opposes him in the town, from what I understand. So,
and those that do are treated such as Barbara and I are. I also was one of the people that received a package of feces back in 2020 when he first won his election.
Your website is cleanairalbanycounty.org, and we've been talking with Barbara Heinzen and Souter Prutzma, Clean Air Coalition mm-hmm. of Greater Ravenna Queemans. This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That was Chick Chick Chick, 3 exclamation points if you're spelling it out, with the song AM FM from 2010 on the FM radio signal 90.7.
Yes, this is Miss Renee King out of Philadelphia. I'd like for you to give me a call on area code 215-222-4209, and I'm calling in reference to the music business. Thank you.
Can't get through. Why don't you leave your name and your number, and I'll get back to you. Hey, how are you doing? Sorry you can't get through. Why don't you leave your name and your number, and I'll get back to you. Once again, it's another rap bandit feeling that I and I can't stand it. Wanna be down with the day glow, knocking on my door saying hey yo yo. Knocking on my door saying hey yo yo. I got a funky new tune with a fly banjo. Can't understand what the problem is. I find it hard enough dealing with my own biz. How'd they get my name and number? Then I stop and think and wonder about a plan. Yo man, I gotta step out top. You wanna call me up? Take my number down. It's 2222222. I got an answer machine that can talk to you. It goes,
hey, how you doing? Sorry you can't get through, but leave your name and your number, and I'll get back to you. Yo, check it. Exit the old style into the new. But nothing's new by being hawked by a few. Or should I say a flock? Cause around every block there's Harry, Dick, and Tom with a demo in his car. Now I'm with helping those who want to help themselves and flaunt a nut that's doggy as a dog. But it's not the move to hear the tales of limousines and pals of money they'll make like a pro. I be like, yo, black disclaimer to take. Well, after show the time is fair, I just make. But the songs created in they shacks. So wick, wick, whack situations like this. I now hate to give me smiles, Kool-Aid wide and ass. And with the straightest fist, I be like, hell yes. Let them the witches to pop a print call, so I don't go AWOL, but yet I know when they call, they get.
Hey, how you doing? Sorry you can't get through. Why don't you leave your name and your number, and I'll get back to you. Hey, how are you doing? Sorry you can't get through. Why don't you leave your name and your number, and I'll get back to you. Check it out. No, party out the dog on Dixon Ave. Haven't been to a jam in quite a while. Catch up on the latest styles. Step piles and piles of them takes by the miles. All I wanna do is count on the back club. But addition will be by the mile to the sector. The lever of duty plug one most thing. And I be like, no, G Pastas all the producers.
Now woe is me to the third degree. Maze pulls are funny, so I make like the bunny. Check, but I'm getting used to this bit more abuse. Getting raped and giving birth to a tape. Cause there's no escape from the clutches of a hawker. Attached to my success, sent like a stalker. Make way to my radius, playing fly guy. Try to get my back, they force like Luke Scott. Me, myself, and I go to this act daily. And rarely do I not. No matter how I dodge, some jackal always nails me. No matter what the plot. And even out on tour, they be like, yo, I gotta get to play you back at the hotel. I be like, oh, swell, unveil the numeric code that guides my room. And tell them to call me at noon. But of course, there's no answering machine in my room. But a pretty younger girl who I swung on tour. And if it rings while we're alone, she'll answer the phone. And with the Christmas, she'll be like a poem.
Hey, hey, you done did the right thing, dollar. My ring, ring, now you're waiting on the beat. Say, I would love if you sing a tune the true instead of fronting on the street. So no problemo, just play your demo. And at the end, it's breakout time. Please, oh, please don't press rewind, cause I'll just lay it down the line. Hey, how you doing? Sorry you can't get through. Why don't you leave your name and your number, and I'll get back to you.
Hey, how you doing? Sorry you can't get through. Why don't you leave your name and your number, and we'll get back to you.
Two events took place on UAlbany's campus last spring that brought a lot of anger and attention to the university. At the first, Turning Point USA, a national group that promotes anti-LGBT ideology and has created a professor watch list to direct harassment towards professors that express views the group deems too leftist, hosted a speaker with a history of extremely transphobic statements. At the second, the Ohio-based anti-abortion group Created Equal displayed graphic images of aborted fetuses on a large video screen in a central part of campus. Both events were met by protest from students and faculty, and at both events, the campus police made aggressive arrests and charged protesters. One instructor, who was forcibly arrested and handcuffed at the Created Equal event for peaceful protest, has subsequently been blacklisted from teaching at the university. The administration responded to the events with a public letter that cast the protesters as the violators of free speech. Now, the university is hosting a free speech symposium over 2 days with the idea of resisting hate with free speech, not censorship, and lessons on where and when to practice free speech appropriately, as well as a banned book readout and more. I spoke with Melissa Connolly, Vice President for Communications and Marketing, who is a co-chair of the event.
You know, I mean, over the past several years, free speech has become a big deal on college campuses. It's, you know, between people understanding what free speech is about, but also the issue of people coming together and having very different points of views and having to navigate each other. We live in an increasingly divisive sort of society where people maybe don't always have tolerance for other people's point of view. And so a college campus is sort of a perfect, you know, microcosm of society and also community to bring people together to learn to listen to one another. And so we had a few times last semester at the University at Albany where, you know, there were some student protests and some issues where free speech became a subject of conversation. So we wanted to bring people together to really talk about what free speech is, what it isn't, how to have civil discourse, more importantly, and how to learn how to talk to each other across our differences.
What are some of the ways you hope to do that?
Well, for example, there's a full day of programming, and we're bringing in two keynote speakers. One is Nadine Strossen, and she's a former president of the ACLU, and she has a book out called Hate, Why We Should Resist It with Free Speech, Not Censorship. So she's a keynote speaker tomorrow morning at 10:30, and it's in partnership with the New York State Writers Institute. And in the evening, we're bringing the president of Pan America, Suzanne Nossel, who is speaking. She has a book called Dare to Speak, Defending Free Speech. We're also having a faculty-specific program to discuss how to deal with difficult issues in the classroom, because we do see, you know, occasionally the issues of free speech come up in a classroom setting. And on Friday, we're having a special program for our students where they're talking about with the Constructive Dialogue Institute, where they're talking about how to talk through conflict. And then between, there are sessions that we're partnering with Albany Law that our diversity, equity, and inclusion chief is hosting to talk about how to have free speech and support and protect diversity and inclusion. And we have also even a panel on trans rights. So it's, you know, it's across the spectrum, the programming over the couple of days, so people can find their place and their issue in the subject.
I mean, it's an interesting issue to talk about on campus, especially right now, right? And obviously, as you mentioned, a big part of it were the two fairly high profile events on campus last semester. It was one was the Turning Point USA appearance, and then the anti-abortion demonstration that had the large graphic images projected on a screen in the middle of campus, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like both of those groups fell under like free speech rules because of the university being a public place, like it's part of the government, a state-funded place, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, both. Well, Turning Point is also a student group here on campus. There's a chapter on campus. And the and as a public university, we have an obligation to provide groups who ask for the ability to be here, to be on campus. So both of them, yes, fell under our obligation as a public university.
Right. And at both of those, the student and faculty who were demonstrating were arrested by campus police, right?
I don't actually have the figures in front of me right now, but there was an arrest at each.
And so what's the feeling about protest as opposed to, or in, as its place in speech?
Yeah, I mean, you know, advocacy and learning to speak up for your rights. Every group has a voice that they should bring forward. Peaceful protest and civil discourse is part of what we're talking about over the next couple of days.
I wonder about your thoughts on the limits of free speech too, right? It's hard, and especially for a public university, right? I mean, threats and harassment, of course, are not covered, right?
Right. I mean, you know, there are limits to free speech. I'm the chair of the event, not the legal expert, but that is part of what we're talking about and why we brought these two very prominent keynote speakers in. It's why there's a panel with Albany Law, for example, to really kind of have in-depth conversations about why we believe in a free speech, where we think, how we disagree, how we talk to each other across our differences, and how we keep moving forward.
Yeah, I think like the really hard part, or one hard part, is like especially groups like Turning Point USA bring that out, which is that free speech, but then wanting to continuously engage in debate and discussion about, you know, sort of disingenuous things like, do gay or trans people have a right to exist, or are people of color inferior to white people? You know what I mean? Whereas there's this constant, like, we're just trying to have a dialogue about these things that aren't really necessarily up for discussion. And how do you, I don't know, like, how do you balance the people's right to speak with the, you know, not needing to constantly engage in this, that type of debate?
Well, I think that everybody has to decide for themselves how to deal with speech they disagree with. And that is part of the point of this conference, of the symposium, is to think through the tools that you need, how you deal with speech that you disagree with vehemently, and how you speak up for yourself, and how you use free speech in your own life. And that's what the point of the symposium is, to provide people with the tools and the space to understand free speech.
Okay. Members of the public who aren't students or faculty at SUNY, if they want to participate in this, what do they have to do?
There's a registration button on the conference, on the symposium website, and it is right off the UAlbany homepage, so albany.edu.
Okay. Anything else we've left out here that you'd like to add?
No, we're looking forward to a couple days of conversation and to start to, you know, to build the tools to have dialogue on campus that, you know, goes across the spectrum of conversation.
Hudson Mohawk Magazine will have more coverage of the event, which is raising questions around campus. If you wish to attend, you can register at albany.edu/freedom-of-speech. Reporting for Hudson Mohawk Magazine, this is Moses Nagel.
secret agent man. Secret.
That was Palinville's Florist with June 9th Nighttime from their 2022 album Florist. Here is Hudson Valley-based cellist Fred Lonberg-Holm performing with Abdul Momimi and Carlos Santos on the song Ring from their 2021 album Transition Zone.